Book chapter 24, and I'll be reading verses 13 to 32. 13 to 32, concerning the two on the road to Emmaus. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And beside all of this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company amazed us, who were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village to which they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Shall we pray together? Loving Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that we can reflect upon the resurrection of Christ, that we can come together as believers and fellowship in the Word of God, and in the fellowship of the saints together in faith, knowing that Jesus Christ has risen even as he has said that he would. And that the resurrection of Christ marks that victory over sin and death, that he did suffer upon the cross for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are healed of all our soul's diseases. That sin has wrecked the soul of man, but Jesus has healed it with his very own blood. And that balm that has been put upon us is the precious blood of Christ, which has made atonement for our sins, and he alone has bore them upon the cruel tree. We thank you, Father, and ask for your blessing upon your word, and pray that you will bless our fellowship together as we have come together for this same purpose, that we might observe this memorial of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and of the great hope that we have in him unto eternal life. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we find that here in Mark chapter 24, verses 13 to 32, we find this particular account given of these two on the road to Emmaus. I guess I especially like this passage because it reminds us, I think, of our relationship to Christ in a casual way. That is, we find these two on the road to Emmaus. They're traveling. Not unlike you and I. We travel a lot. We go from one place to another. And we find that these two men were traveling on the road to Emmaus. They were going to this little town of Emmaus. And they had recently come from Jerusalem. They had heard all of the various events that had taken place. They knew about Jesus. They had received the message of the women and of the disciples concerning the angelic vision, concerning the revelation that Jesus Christ had been risen from the grave. And they had high hopes. It says here in verse 19, "And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we hoped," it says in verse 21, "but we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel." They were not unlike us in that we have hopes too. And they had hoped that he, that is Jesus, was the one who might have redeemed Israel. As we look at this passage this afternoon, I'd like for us to consider at least six different areas that they conversed and that Jesus did reveal unto them more fully himself. And not unlike us, we find ourselves walking along the way of life and we find ourselves perhaps questioning at times. We find ourselves conversing upon the subject of Christ. We find ourselves looking to him for great hope. We find ourselves having such aspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ that we believe there is a better future ahead of us. In other words, there is some commonality between what they were doing and what we do as well as we travel the road of life here. And, of course, the one thing that they found and we find also is that Jesus is the answer. And that is not just a small answer. It is a big answer. It is one that really comes from God and is the revelation of God to man that otherwise man would not know save God gave it. It is, in other words, it is the inspiration of revelation to us, that we would know Jesus and him crucified. And so we'll be looking at this passage here, hopefully with some detail. First of all, in verse 13 and 14, they talked with each other about Jesus as they walked along the way. As we see, verse 13 and 14, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened." Now, perhaps you can just imagine the conversation that they had. Not unlike conversations that we have concerning our faith and concerning our hopes and concerning those things that we believe that God may be doing. And perhaps even questions. Oh, we know that these on the road to Emmaus had questions. That wasn't answered in their mind as yet. That they were somewhat in conversation and communion with one another and in fellowship with one another, and they even had the subject of Jesus Christ on their mind and on their heart, but they didn't have all the answers yet. And you know, there are many people like that today. There are many we know that are unsaved like that who have not the answers about Jesus. And maybe we could even say, well, they don't even have a clue about Jesus. And there are many Christians who seem to be somewhat confused about this whole issue. That they don't really have a good view of who Jesus is. That they seem to be living kind of out of sync with who Jesus is. Now these two on the road to Emmaus, we can say, well, they couldn't have been too closely connected with Christ. Otherwise, they would have a little bit more affirmed faith in the Lord. They had heard just enough, perhaps, that they knew a lot about Jesus, but yet they weren't convinced that he was the Christ, because they questioned it a little later on. And we are reminded that sometimes in our lives we question things. But we find that this relationship that they had to one another brought them to this subject of Jesus Christ. And as they talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, as they began to express their feelings about the Lord Jesus Christ, something began to happen. They began to have some idea or thought about what had happened, that when they met the stranger upon the road, all of a sudden things began to come together with some solidifying of thoughts and ideas, and Jesus, of course, was able to reveal to them much more. You know, our fellowship, I think, does the same thing. When we get together as Christians, well, if we talk about the baseball game last night, or if we talk about the football game, what happens? Well, you just compare scores. But if you are interested in talking about the Bible, you begin to talk about, well, I was reading the scriptures this week, and the Lord began to impress upon me this and about prayer, perhaps. Or something about how God provides for my life. Or perhaps he reveals some little thing to you that you hadn't noticed before in part of the scripture that just you had to share with someone. And as you begin to share that word with someone, you found that there began to be a coming together of a fellowship in Christ. And Christ became the focal point of your conversation. These two on the road to Emmaus were making Christ the focal point of their conversation as they went along the way in life. I think we should take opportunities to make Christ the focal point of our conversation. We should always do that when we come together. We should talk about Jesus as much as possible. We should talk about what God is trying to teach us. We should talk about what we are studying. We should talk about what we have read recently. We should talk about what's going on in the Christian faith and what the topics are and the subjects are about Jesus. And if we will do that, then the Lord will open his thoughts to us in ways perhaps that will truly bless us and reveal himself to us. Secondly, we see in verses 15 and 16, and they communed with each other about these things. And as they did, Jesus drew near. Verse 15 and 16, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, they were reasoning, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, and their eyes were holden that they should not recognize him. Now you see, as they were walking along the way, they began to talk about the subject of Christ, about what was happening in Jerusalem, what took place there. They were reasoning together. Jesus draws near to them. Now isn't that what happens when we begin to talk about subjects in relationship to Christ? Doesn't Jesus become the focus of your attention? And you began to talk more about it. Maybe you begin to say, well, you know, I had an opportunity to witness to somebody this week, and I was working, and there was this guy that I had an opportunity to talk to, and I just tried to get something into this guy because he just seemed to need to know more about Jesus, and I wanted to talk to him about the Lord, and I just tried to do that. And all of a sudden, the conversation becomes much more of a blessing because Jesus is at the center of it. Whenever Jesus becomes at the center of our conversation, Jesus draws near to us. He draws near to us. Doesn't James say that when you draw near to God, God will draw near to you? God is waiting for us to approach Him. That is, Jesus wants us, He wants us to talk about Him. He wants us to share what we feel. He wants us to just get into the subject matter of what is going on in our lives in relationship to our walk of faith in Christ. And, you know, that can be the greatest encouragement. It can be the greatest encouragement to do that. Don't you feel sometimes like you just want somebody to talk to you about the Lord? I mean, you may have a lot of thoughts about the Lord. You may be reading a book. You may be reading the Bible. But nobody seems to be saying anything to you. And you want to say something to other people. And sometimes you may take the opportunity. But you're just waiting for someone to say something to you so you can get into a good conversation. And you may feel like I do sometimes. Nobody wants to really talk about their faith. They just kind of, you know, just go along life and don't even talk about what they believe. Well, I think it's time we talked about what we believe with one another. And you know, some people, maybe you sense this. Maybe you sense that some people are kind of threatened when you bring up the subject of Christ. Maybe you kind of feel that way. It's kind of like, well, I like to talk about Jesus with this person, but whenever I talk about Jesus with the guy, he clams right up. He won't say nothing. I've had that happen. When you try to talk to somebody, they don't want to talk to you about Jesus. They don't want to talk to you about their faith at all. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to draw near to Jesus. And we can only do that as we talk about Jesus. And it came to pass that while they communed, verse 15, while they communed together and reasoned. You see, they were communing, they were reasoning together. What was they reasoning about? We've already talked about that in verse 14, 13 and 14. They're talking about the events that took place. They're talking about what happened. Jesus drew near to them then. And that's when Jesus is going to draw near to us. Is when we open up and talk to one another about the Lord. When we commune together, when we reason together, Jesus will draw near to us. Thirdly, Jesus often offers questions to our hearts. He questions things about us in our lives as we talk. And as we look here at the next passage, next verse, verse 17, he says, "And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these?" See, Jesus is the person speaking there in verse 17 in the narrative. "And he said unto them," Jesus said unto the two men on the road to Emmaus, "what manner of communications are these that ye have one with another? What are you talking about as you walk and are sad?" And so Jesus questions them. I'd like to just say to you that as we reason and talk with one another, there will be questions. There's going to be questions that will come up. And God the Holy Spirit will bring those questions to your attention. It may be something quite different than what you expected. As you commune with another person and reason with them about Christ, there may be some questions that will come up. And those questions, remember, are put there in the mind, in your mind, in your heart, by the Holy Spirit. He draws those things out that you might be have some consciousness of them, some awareness of them, that you might know the answers of these things. And it may be some very simple things. It may be trusting God for the provision of life. It might be some theological issue that maybe you hadn't quite got a hold of. But whatever it might be, the Lord draws those things out of us as we talk and reason together about Christ. He draws those things out of us. And so in verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one with another? What are you talking about as you walk and are sad? And so we find that before Jesus can reveal himself fully, these questions have to come up. And that's where we would say, well, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. It seems that you can learn a lot from a textbook. I know when I went to Bible college, you know, I learned a lot of things from textbooks. But you really don't know the answers to those things, even though you find them in a textbook, until you experience them in your heart. Until you walk a little bit in faith with those things. Then you begin to experience them and learn what is being said. Why prayer is necessary at all, and how significant it is to have some prayer life. Why it's important to be consistent in some kind of Bible reading program so that God will speak to you as you're walking along the way in life. Why you should be faithful in church and church attendance. Because you don't get it all in one setting from the pastor when he's teaching or preaching. You have to be there long enough under the preaching of the word to finally get to the place where God is bringing together enough information that the light goes on and you say, okay, I understand that. It takes some experience to go along with textbook learning, we might say. The Holy Spirit has to bring that to our attention with some real meaningful application. And so we find that Jesus brought up a question to them concerning their walking together and the things that they were talking about. In verses 18 to 24, we find here, Jesus said unto them, what things? So he says, what things? He questions them. Verse 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Is the question, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus questions them, comes right out and asks them, what things? It's kind of, he wants them to give him just a little bit more information. You're talking about these things as you're walking, and these events and activities, and you seem to be sad and low of countenance. Now, what things are they you're talking about? And so they begin to open up to him as they walk along the way. And what is he really doing? Well, it seems that he is testing what they knew and believed. He's testing what they knew and believed. Now, as Christians, as we might say, well, we know some things. But what do you believe about those things that you know? Probably the belief area is more difficult. Because even in churches today, if you ask people what they believe about certain issues, you probably get a varied opinion. Right now, the opinion seems to be that a large part of society believes that gay marriage is okay. You might say, well, that should be a no-brainer. Christians should know better than that one. Well, not necessarily. Just because the things that they know and the things that they believe are often two different things. They may have read the Bible many times and they may have seen plenty of scripture that shows why it is wrong for two men or two women to be together in an intimate relationship. And yet, they, when it comes to society at large and of their public opinion, they may say something altogether different than what they know the Bible is saying. And why is that? Well, maybe their understanding has not been opened up to know the truth. Now, it seems that these two on the road to Emmaus had not had their understanding opened. They knew a lot about Jesus. They knew a lot about what went on. But they really didn't know Jesus yet. And I'd like to say to you that Jesus questioned them, testing them, what they knew or believed. And there is a big difference between what they know and what they believed. And I think it's the same thing is true today. There's a lot of Christians who know things, but what they believe is something altogether different. And their understanding has not been opened up by the Lord in these areas. Otherwise, there would be some cohesion between the two. There would be some true unity or consistency between what the Bible says and what they believed. And so Jesus questions these two on the road to Emmaus. Reading on in verse 20, it says, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and had crucified him, but we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today it is the third day since these things were done." Well, immediately Jesus knew that they didn't know who Jesus really was, because they had some hope, but it was in kind of, they hoped. It's kind of like in the sense, well, I hope I'm going to have this or have that, or know this or know that, or someone can do this or someone can do that, but they don't know for sure. Some people, they just hope they're going to get saved, but they don't know they're saved. They just hope they're going to get saved, but they don't know they're saved. Now, I think there's a big disparity there, wouldn't you say? We ought to know whether we are saved or not saved. We ought to know whether Jesus is really the Christ, the Son of God, or not. And these two had questions that had not been answered yet. And Jesus was yet in the process of testing them concerning what they knew, that he might open their hearts and their understanding. And so in verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our company amazed us, who were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not." They knew all the facts. They knew all the circumstances. They had it all laid out there, but yet there is reservation in their conversation. There's a big reservation. They communed and they reasoned about Jesus, and Jesus, here he comes, and he begins to question them concerning these facts, and he begins to ask them why they are sad. They don't even know he's Jesus. They don't even know it. And it's because they had not really come to the place of true belief, between fact and belief. They had not come to belief. And I think there's a lot of people like that. And I think we need to, even in our own lives, we need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about our faith. We need to talk about what's going on in our lives, what we are studying, what we are doing, what we believe, why we believe it. We need to do this. Because if we don't, it doesn't solidify in our minds and hearts. God the Holy Spirit doesn't bring it to us with enough passion that we can really explain it to anybody else. We just have all these things in our mind, but it hasn't yet settled in our heart and belief. And we need to get these things out in conversation as believers, that Jesus will open these things up to us by, of course, the working of the Spirit of God, as he's able to do that. Fifthly, in verses 25 and 26, again, he says something to them quite dramatically. Not only does he say what things, but now he says in verse 25, he says, "Then he said unto them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then he goes on in verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Do you not know? It's like saying, do you not know, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe? Don't you know that Jesus had to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Don't you know this? Perhaps you've come across certain Christians that you'd like to say something like that to. Don't you know you're supposed to go to church every Sunday? Not just because it's something to do, but because you need the fellowship. Don't you know you need to attend prayer meeting? Because it's at prayer meeting you realize that everybody else prays just like you do, has the same needs you do, has the same feelings that you do, and the same problems that you do, and you can share one another's burdens there. Don't you know you need to witness to people? Because if you don't witness to them, the very thing inside of you that is supposed to be alive and living the life of Christ will somehow die within you if you don't tell other people about it. Don't you know? You see, Jesus had to ask them. Don't you know that he had to die and receive the glory that God the Father intended for him to have through this whole thing? And they didn't, of course. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And then we see in verses 27 to 32, Jesus taught them and their eyes were opened. What does he do? He teaches them. They didn't know. They had all the facts, but they didn't know. He says, what things? Don't you know? And now he's found out that what they don't know, they have all these facts, but they don't have belief, and he begins to teach them. And in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village to which they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat eating with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, that they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight." Once he began to teach them, and once he had sat down with them, and they were having fellowship upon those very things which he was teaching them. The food, of course, was just a medium by which he had fellowship with them together in a small company, of course. And he broke the bread, and perhaps he began to explain to them, just like his disciples in the upper room, those very same things all over again after he had talked to them about through the book of Moses and the prophets concerning himself. And then all of a sudden, they said, this is Jesus. This is Christ. This is it. He is the one in front of me. He is my Savior and Lord. Now I understand. And I would suggest to you that sometimes our Christian faith comes as a process. I'm not saying that we are saved by works or anything like that. I'm saying that you may have believed upon the Lord at some point, and perhaps you've met certain people who said they have believed, but they don't seem to have any growth. Nothing. Well, maybe it's because of some of these things we've been talking about. Maybe they have never really talked with anyone about their faith or had any of the questions answered that they have Maybe they haven't rehearsed those things that happened to them when they first believed and didn't understand fully what took place, and they needed somebody to be a helper to them in breaking the scriptures open to them. There's a need for us to grow. There's a need for us to mature in faith. And we need one another to encourage us in this process. Jesus teaches them. Teaching is a very important part of the scriptures. We find that the pastor is to be a pastor teacher. And we need teachers. We need those who expound the scriptures. You know, some people will say, "Oh, I just read my Bible. I never read any other books because there ain't no other books that are worth reading except the Bible." Well, the Bible is truly worth reading. But don't forget, a lot of these other books that Christians have written are there because they have been taught by other pastors and teachers. The Holy Spirit has taught them. And perhaps they have been teachers themselves, and so they're trying to share many of these same things. It's like sitting down with a friend and listening to what he has to say on a certain subject, and it can help you to understand. You don't have to believe everything what somebody writes. You don't want to believe everything somebody writes. But it's good to have a teacher. Of course, the Holy Spirit is our final teacher. And we always ought to let God, the Holy Spirit, impress the final word upon us. But let us not forget that Jesus teaches us. He teaches us through His Word, through other believers. He teaches us through the experience of faith. Not experience above the Word of God or in place of it, but experience with the Word of God and faith. And these two on the road to Emmaus had their hearts opened as Jesus questioned them about what the things that they had heard and seen meant to them, about what these things were concerning Christ that they were so troubled about, and that they ought to have recognized that Jesus needed to suffer and to die and to be glorified. And then he began to open up to them the very Old Testament scripture concerning Christ from Moses and the prophets. And then he had fellowship with them, because we do have fellowship in the Word and by the Spirit and through the faith of others of like precious faith. And all of a sudden their eyes were opened. Of course, we'd all like to sit down personally with Christ and talk to Him to get His personal insight on everything, right? But we know that Jesus has left us here with the Comforter. God the Holy Spirit is that one who not only comforts us, but teaches us and ministers to us. Each of us have an opportunity to partake of that kind of communion with God through the Holy Spirit. And we can also have that communion with God in the Holy Spirit with one another. And we can be encouraged one of another. And so Jesus opens their eyes. And their eyes were opened, verse 31. And they recognized Him. And then He left them. Just a minute, we find Jesus as our Savior. He leaves us. I think He wants us to walk by faith too, doesn't He? And not by sight. He wants us to walk by faith. And so we have to do that. Shall we bow together? Loving Father, we thank You for Your Word to us. Pray You will just take it and apply it to our lives. Lord, You know how weak and feeble we are in and of ourselves. We need what You can teach us. We also need the fellowship of other believers. And we need the iron sharpening of iron, that each of us can be one with the other. And Lord, we need the questions. Questions that You can answer for us as we come to You, draw near to You. and find your word opening up to us more and more. And as that word opens up to us, Lord, we find that our eyes are opened and we begin to understand the very things you desire for us to know. And we give you thanks for this, Father. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.